48 years before the barometer was invented.
109 before the first daily newspaper.
190 before the discovery of electricity.
219 years before the first steamship crossed the Atlantic.
258 before the first cablegram to England.
300 years before the radio.
A noteworthy event took place.
Yes, that's right. More than 300 years ago, a little vessel of 180 tons lay in the shelter of Cape Cod Bay after a stormy voyage. That little vessel was the Mayflower, and on board the ship was a very heartbroken young man. This is his story. From Greenville, South Carolina, Bob Jones University presents Miracles. A man's life is but an empty, broken shell without an inward source of power. God's power alone can take a life and bind it into a dynamic, moving force. Truly great men are God's men. Aboard the primitive ship Mayflower, which lay peacefully in the shelter of Cape Cod Bay, were many weather-beaten pilgrims. Most of them were happy at the thought of going ashore, but William wasn't. The voyage for him had ended in such a different way from what it had begun. A 2-month period of stormy existence on the North Atlantic had begun with such hope and ended in such tragedy. William and Dorothy May had such golden dreams for their future life in America.
Just think, William, we're going to America.
Yes, my darling, going to America to build a new home, a home where we'll have freedom.
It's like a dream somehow coming true.
And I hope with all my heart that in America I'll be able to give you some of the things you've never had. It won't be easy. In fact, the hardships are going to be greater than either of us have known.
But, William, we'll have each other. Just as our family being together in a new land of hope. A land where our children can grow up with a bright future.
Wonderful dreams, my darling. Dreams I hope will come true very soon. It just doesn't seem possible that we're on board ship sailing to a land beyond the horizon.
A land we're approaching on faith, trusting God.
Yes, William and Dorothy May had such golden dreams for their future life in America. At last, they were going to live in a country where they would be free, entirely free. But the voyage, which had begun in such high spirits, ended with a horrible scream. A scream which left William to begin his new life in America alone. What a voyage that was. The Mayflower had sailed away with 100 pilgrims, out into the unknown West, looking for liberty, for a home for their children, for a government and a church of their own. It was quite a voyage. The tiny vessel tossed for 2 months on gray Atlantic billows. It tossed about in storm after storm. The ship became more and more battered. The main helm buckled. Then the deck gear tore away. It was indeed a miserable voyage for Dorothy May and her husband. Weary days lengthened into never-ending nights. Tossing back and forth on a raging ocean, the miniature ship Mayflower pressed on toward America, and worn pilgrims strained their eyes, searching the gray horizon for a line to appear. And then one day, the sea calmed. Yes, the tiny vessel Mayflower reached calm waters at last. A surging relief swept over the passengers of the Mayflower at the wonderful sight of land.
Darling, there it is. There is our future home.
Our future home. The beginning of our dream. Why, Dorothy May, I believe there are tears in your eyes.
Oh, not really, dear. I guess it's just excitement.
You're not unhappy, are you? Do Do you long for England and home?
I suppose I will at times, but not just now. Well, maybe just a bit.
There. That's better. A smile becomes that lovely face more than tears. It's not going to be easy. You know that.
Yes, William, I know.
It will be very hard in America. But you're right. We'll have each other, always. And together we will build a home in this wonderful new land.
Oh, yes. Together we'll build a new life of freedom.
Now, darling, you stay here and watch the shore, and I'll go to the cabin. I'll come back before long.
William went to the cabin. There he met with 39 men who had determined to make this adventure in a new land one that would remain forever. It was the first compact of self-government in America. This Mayflower Compact was a foundation stone of our political life. And after signing the Mayflower Compact, William went back to his own cabin and penned these words.
I cannot but stand half amazed at this poor people's present condition. Being thus past the vast ocean, they had now no friends to call them, nor inns to refresh their weather-beaten bodies, no houses, or much less homes to repair to seek for succor. What could they see but a hideous, desolate wilderness full of wild beasts and wild men? If they looked behind them, there was the mighty ocean, which was now as a main barrier and gulf to separate them from all the civilized parts of the world. What could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace?
And then tragedy struck. Tragedy struck, which cut deep into William's being. A woman's scream. A woman's scream brought him to the ship's side.
What happened?
Who
screamed?
I think it best if you would remain in your cabin.
But what happened?
Why can't you tell me? All passengers must retire to their cabins at once. Do not be alarmed. Please accept this as an order. Proceed at once.
Proceed at once. The tiny ship rocked with excitement, but the order was carried out. They hastened to their cabins, these weary pilgrims, who had sighted land in the distance after 2 months of agonizing travel across the Atlantic. William's steps trudged reluctantly to his cabin, his mind racing over 1,000 questions.
Why wouldn't they tell me? What did happen? What could cause a woman to scream? I'd better find Dorothy May.
Sir, please go to your... Oh, it's you, William.
Yes, I'm looking for my wife.
William, I have something to tell you which I regret very much.
Yes?
Your wife. She fell overboard. Before we reached her, she was drowned.
Captain, you don't mean...
Yes, that scream was...
No! Dorothy May... No.
The Mayflower rested calmly in the peaceful harbor at Cape Cod. The sea lapped greedily at the sides of the tiny ship. But aboard the tiny ship, a young man peered hypnotically into the surging gulf.
Why, Dorothy May. Gone. It can't. It isn't true. Gone. Forever gone.
William's hopes for a new home with his loved one in a new land crashed down in miserable ruin. He must face the new world alone. Face a new world alone. But this was only the beginning for William. This was to be the beginning of 37 years of building, building a life, a community, a country. It takes hard work to make a home in the wilderness, surrounded by savages. Within 4 months, William saw half of the pilgrims die of privation and disease. He saw the dead buried at night in the one street of the settlement, and the ground smoothed down again. He saw the survivors walk bravely over their loved ones' graves in their daily tasks, and to the meeting house on the hill. The Indians must never know how many had died, nor where the graves were made. William served as governor for nearly 37 years. He planned community life, treated with savages, preserved morale and discipline, with fiery little Miles Standish as his chief of staff. The Pilgrims' garden seeds might not have grown, but they had brought other seeds, seeds of liberty that were one day to flower into a republic on whose coins would be the Pilgrim motto, "In God We Trust." And the man who led them through the trials of the American wilderness was named William Bradford. William Bradford died May 9, 1657, lamented by all the colonies of New England as a common blessing to them all. But the crown of all was his holy, prayerful, watchful, fruitful walk with God, wherein he was very exemplary.
To keep a good conscience and to walk in such a way as God has prescribed in his word is a thing which I must prefer to life itself.
Perhaps he was thinking of another pilgrim leader in dim centuries past, old Joshua, who led the people of Israel into their promised land, to whom the command had come from God, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." This has been another in the series of miracles as taken from Bob Pratt's adaptation of Sources of Power in Famous Lives. In the cast were heard Nikki Chavers as William Bradford, Coretta Johnson as his wife Dorothy. Others included Bob Raymond and Thurman Wisdom. Sound technician was Corbin Tabler. Dave Harrell was recording engineer. Miracles is directed by Laura Pratt, and this is Dave Yerry. Miracles is a transcribed production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.